Hello and welcome to the Wednesday Bible study series. We're going over the Sermon on the Mount, and right now we're on the Beatitudes. Last week we got to Matthew 5:8, which is, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Now remember, all these Beatitudes reflect what God is creating in us and will be the nature, the character, the attitude, the way ones will be who will be in the kingdom of God. So it's very, very important to really understand this and know what God is developing in us through His Holy Spirit. So let's look at Matthew 5:8. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." So the heart, the pure in heart, that is what God looks at. All the Beatitudes really involve the heart. A pure heart, one without guile or other non-godly attitudes, not with self-oriented motives. A pure heart, a genuine heart. Our outward communication and fruits disclose what's really in our hearts. Do you want to know what's in our hearts? Think about what comes out of our mouths and what we say. And we'll get a good indication. Jesus Christ said this in Matthew 15, verse 16. Let me just read this to you. If you have your Bibles, please turn to it. Matthew 15, verse 16. You may know this by heart. Very important scripture, but it's important to understand and reflect on. Verse 16 of Matthew 15 says, "So Jesus said, 'Are you also still without understanding?'" Now, who is he talking to? He's talking to the Pharisees, who thought they had a lot of understanding. And what is happening here is that they're judging, I guess, Christ, Jesus Christ and his disciples, because they didn't quite wash their hands in the way that the Pharisees thought you should do it to get everything clean. So he says, "Are you still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated?" Verse 18. "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man." So that's very important to understand, that what defiles us? Well, it's not so much getting a bit of dirt in our mouth and that goes into our stomach. But what comes from the heart that is heard from our mouth, what comes out of our mouth comes from the heart. That's what defiles a man. And that's what Jesus Christ is talking about. For verse 19, he goes on and says, "For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." So Jesus Christ, it's very clear is what is important, what's in our heart, which then comes out of our mouth. Now, let me just put this in context of being diligent. You know, and in some ways we can be like the Pharisees. We are very diligent in always asking if we go to a restaurant, especially if it's a Mexican type restaurant, "Is there lard in the refried beans?" And somebody will always ask that question because they're being diligent and wanting to obey God's health laws, and we should. We should live by every word of God, and that includes God's food laws. But what I'm trying to get us to think about is, are we as diligent in asking about what's in our heart? What's coming out of our mouth? Why? Where did that come from when we say certain things? And asking about that to ourselves, because that's what defiles us ultimately. I'll give you another story that kind of shows how diligent we are on certain things, and we should be, but apply that same diligence to our heart and evaluating what's coming out of our mouth and what's in our heart causing us to say certain things or do certain things or act certain ways. I once bought we have a kids club or things where this monthly get together with kids, and we do an activity and a lesson. And sometimes I make it nice. You buy treats. So I once bought these gummy treats, these little gummy bear treats for the kids club. And because we tend to eat healthy, I bought these gummy treats from a local store that focuses on only healthy things. So I went there, and sure enough, they had healthy gummy bears. And I checked the label, and the gummies seemed to be sweetened with fruit ingredients. And there was no coloring that came from red dye 40. It was all kind of natural colors and everything like that. So I thought, great, I'm going to buy these gummy bears, and it'll be awesome. So I put them out on the table. And after some time, I realized no one was eating them. All the kids were not eating them because they had been trained. The parents had been diligent, you might say, in training the kids to know that gelatin that's used in Jell-O, as well as gummy bears, is made from pork. So they weren't touching it. They were very diligent. And I ended up just throwing the gummy bears out because nobody ate them. So my point is, sometimes we're diligent on some of these things, which we should be. God's food laws, we shouldn't be diligent. We should be diligent on those things. But we should be diligent on what's coming out of our mouth and really analyzing that. Is our heart pure? That same diligence, because that's what ultimately, in the big picture way, and what God's focusing on is what's going to defile us, what comes out of the mouth. That's important. And that what comes out of the mouth is reflects what's really in our heart. Do we have a pure heart? Well, then what we say and what we express will have reflect a pure heart. If we're saying things that aren't the greatest, well, that reflects the heart. Are we diligent in asking and seeking out what's in our hearts that defiles us in God's eyes? Jesus said a whole list here: evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are all things that maybe we don't execute on, but the thoughts are there. And that's what Jesus Christ covers a little bit later on in the Sermon on the Mount. It isn't just like not doing something, one of these awful things. It's actually the thought in our minds, or the some of the things that are kind of there that lead to these things. And maybe we're never acting on it, but they're there. That's getting rid of those things is acting on getting having a pure heart, getting diligent, being diligent on a pure heart and having a pure heart, the heart. That's what it's about, the heart. It's what goes on in the mind or the hearts that defiles. The Pharisees were worried about a hand washing ritual, that if you did it the way they wanted you to do it, would be a way in which you'd be assured of that all the, you know, hands and everything were cleaned a certain way, and you wouldn't defile yourself, because they were worried about, well, maybe you touched something that was unclean and now you have to wash it off. And some of those things are fine, but God's looking upon the heart. He's looking upon the heart. What did David cry out and say in Psalm 51? He said, create in me. He's asking God diligently, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast or a right spirit within me. You know, that's what David wanted. Now, God had told him, he was David, that he would be forgiven of his adultery, and he actually even had Bathsheba's husband killed in war. So he was really guilty of multiple things, you know, adultery, murder. And God said he would forgive him. But here, David's crying out, but forgiveness, yes, one totally a blessing that he would be forgiven of that. But he wants a clean heart. He's thinking about, what was it in my heart that even allowed me to think about certain things, to even act on those things? David wants those things removed. He says, create in me a clean heart. That's why he says a pure heart, so that the thing, whatever was sitting in his heart that allowed him to act a certain way and not just think, but act, where he committed an awful sin. And then he ultimately had Bathsheba's husband killed. Awful thing to have done. And he says, I want whatever it was in my heart, whatever was sitting there that he didn't recognize that allowed him to do that, he wanted that to be cleaned, removed, and to change. So that, and that's the way we really should be thinking about a pure heart. What is in us, what's in our heart, still has to be removed. And asking God in the same way, create in me a clean heart. Let's look at another scripture in Psalms that talks about a pure heart. The Bible really talks a lot about a pure heart, a genuine heart, a heart without guile, you might say. And here we see another scripture that talks about that. Psalm 24, verse 3, 4, and 5, and 6. So let's read this. Psalm 24, if you have your Bible. It says, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or may stand in his holy place? Now, a hill of the Lord, that can represent God's government, his kingdom. That's what mountains represent in prophecy. But who can ascend, or who can be there? And then it also says, stand in his holy place. So we're certainly talking about God's temple place. Who can go to that place? Verse 4, he who has clean hands and a pure heart. So we're talking about somebody who has clean hands, somebody, you know, the hands represent the things that we do. You know, your hands didn't participate in anything that was evil, you know. And a pure heart is somebody, is what we think. You know, we don't have ulterior motives to do things, or wrong motives. We have pure motives why we do what we do. And we certainly have clean hands as well. It means we don't act on certain things and participate in things that are wrong. And we have more, and even as important, or maybe where it all starts from, is the heart. We have a pure heart. A pure heart, not having wrong thoughts, or even doing something wrong with our hands. 1 John 3, let's turn to this wonderful scripture, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. This is a fantastic set of two scriptures here. I could spend a lot of time on this. And here the Apostle John writes such an amazing thoughts, scriptures, truth for us to understand. It says, beloved, now we are children of God. Now that by itself is an amazing truth, that you can be a child of God. And there's a lot in the scripture about that, being a child of God, how that occurs, and the family of God, being in the family of God. He says, beloved, now we are children of God. If he's given you the gift of his spirit, you know, then you've been a begotten child of God. So in a sense, you're children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. So what John's saying is, you know, we're not the, we're still in the flesh, but it hasn't been shown to us yet that we're going to be spirit being. We're not yet spirit being. Now we have 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It talks about in the twinkling of an eye, we changed into flesh to spirit, you know, something that's corruptible into incorruptible. Wonderful chapter. But it says, but John says, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, when Christ returns in his full glory, as a Holy Spirit, as a spirit being, full glory, as he is really, not in the flesh, but as he is, and he's revealed, that we shall be like him. What a wonderful truth. What a wonderful vision. What a wonderful hope. And that's what John's talking about, a hope. So we shall see him as he is. Now, can we see Jesus Christ as he really is right now in his full glory? No, we would die. It says, if you look upon God in his full glory, you know, you would die. And we know that Moses could not look at God and had to only could only look at his back. But when you're a spirit being, and it's revealed that you're a spirit being when he returns, and shall be like him, we shall see him as he is what John says. And everyone who has this hope, no hope, everybody wants to be there when Christ returns and to be a spirit being born into, at that point, the kingdom of God. And that's really what it means. You're born into. You're into the king, fully born into the kingdom of God as a spirit being. And everybody who has this hope, and I hope everybody has this hope, it's an anchor to our soul. It keeps us grounded in difficult times. As the waters around us are turbulent, we're anchored to this hope. And everyone who has this hope in him and her, for that matter, purifies himself just as he is pure. So this is what John writes, the pure heart are those who have repented and turned from their sins. So that's the beginning point. Sins are wiped away through repentance. When we are baptized and we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our personal Lord and Savior, we come out of the water. In that moment, all your sins have been wiped away. But is that all there is? Is there more to it than that? Well, there is a changing of the heart that has to take place. The heart isn't 100% changed at that very moment to a pure heart, to a heart of sincerity. Now, we all start out, you know, especially before baptism, with what is described in Jeremiah 17:9. Jeremiah 17:9, a well-known verse. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things. So the reality is, the truth that we have to come to is that our heart tries to deceive us. We think we're better than we are. We're really not that bad. It doesn't even look at why we even do certain things. But the heart is deceitful above all things. And we can have a deceitful heart. Even it tries to, it wants to make us, it wants to like not think we're that bad, help us think that we're not that bad, or we're kind of on the right track. Well, that's not really reality. It says, and desperately wicked, who can know it? So, because who even understands that our hearts, you know, based on, you know, the way we've grown up into this world, we've been influenced, have a heart that's been sort of developed a lot of bad traits oftentimes. And who can know that? Well, it says verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. So we quote that scripture to show that ultimately everybody has to come to some point to realize their heart is not pure. And the trick is, or the understanding is, to know that that's the case. And then to want to have a pure heart, to change. That's the conversion process. We come out of the water after repentance, in baptism. And then the conversion process starts to change our heart through the gift, the power of God's Holy Spirit. And it's a process. It's a process. It doesn't happen in day one, day two, week one, or even year one. Now, it's a process. And I liken it to an ongoing cycle of purifying the heart. I often think of it as like a wash cycle. We all have these washing machines. And let's just, for sake of analogy, think of this dirty shirt. We love this dirty shirt. It's what we have. But you want to get it clean. You want to get out all these stains. Well, we might put it in the washing machine and we add the detergent and we wash the shirt and it comes out cleaner than it was before. But it's not purely pure, clean heart shirt. It's still got some stains. It's better than it was. So we put it through another wash cycle. And then it gets a little bit cleaner. And then another wash cycle. Well, that's the conversion process. We're constantly going through, you might say, a wash cycle to get all the stains. And we'll talk about this a little bit more as we get into Ephesians. We have another scripture in Ephesians about what God Christ is really doing for the church. Getting rid of all the stains. It's a conversion process, a conversion cycle, purifying our hearts. And it takes God's Spirit. That might be the agent that really cleans the heart, the power there to change it, to change the hearts. That's what God's doing, changing the hearts through His Spirit. But it takes prayer, study, fasting. It's a process of removing the stains, like a wash cycle. You can't just do it one time and it's clean. You may have to be multiple times to get something clean. In the Bible, there's another term for this, another analogy that's used. It's called the refiner's fire. And you can look at gold or silver. To get pure silver or pure gold, you have to go through a refiner's fire. It has to get out all the impurities, all the dregs. And to separate the impurities from the pure gold, the pure silver, you have to put some high refiner's fire on it, and it separates, and then you can remove it. Well, that's what God's really doing with our hearts. It's the same thing. You know, we call it a wash cycle over and over again, or a refiner's fire. The God wants the impurities out of our heart. We can see one example of this in Malachi 3. Malachi 3, verse 2, you may want to go to the scripture and underline it because it really reflects what God is doing. So he says in Malachi 3, verse 2, but who can endure the day of his coming? So we're talking about Jesus Christ. Who can be there? And who can stand when he appears? So who's going to be standing there? Ready to be changed, you might say, into spirit beings. Well, he goes on to say, for he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purify, a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, and that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. So we see this idea, this analogy, this process of refining, like silver and gold. You want to get the impurities out. Well, that's what God is doing with the heart. And it reflects a process. It's a process. Now, I also would like us to turn to Revelation 3:18. We see this idea associated pointed to the church of Laodicea. Yeah, Revelation 3:18. Christ himself says to this church, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. So again, this idea that you need to have some, purities, pure gold. And it only happens through, gold only is purified through fire where you can get the impurities out. That you may be rich. Remember, the Laodiceans thought they were rich, but they weren't. And white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. So there's a lot that can be said about this scripture here, this section here, about the problems that the Laodiceans had. But they thought they were rich. They thought they had knowledge. They thought that their hearts were in a certain place, but they weren't. And they needed to have, something done. And he says, go and buy from me gold that's refined in fire. I mean, get the impurities out, in a sense. And he's telling that to the Laodicean church. Now, there's a lot more we can cover there, but really the Laodiceans had a certain spiritual state that they were not even aware of, and we can cover a lot of the things here, but the focus is this idea of refining with fire, getting the impurities out, having a pure heart. How does that occur? Well, Christ is telling his church here to buy gold that's been refined, and not to be confident in their own spiritual state, but be refined in fire. Now, that's the thing that we have to really think about doing. We have to ask God, like David did, create in me a clean heart. Don't be afraid of what's in there. What we should be doing is asking that in all sincerity, asking God, what's in my heart that needs to be pulled out? You have this hot metal and it's gold, but some impurities there, and the impurities begin to come to the top, and you can scrape it off because you can see the impurities there. Well, that's what we should be asking God to do, not to be afraid of doing that. God wants the best for us, and he wants those in his kingdom with a pure heart. Who can stand when he returns? Well, those with a pure heart is what we're talking about. And that only comes through God removing those things, through the power of his spirit. But we have to see them, want them. We have to hunger and thirst, as we heard earlier in the Beatitudes. We want to hunger and thirst for his righteousness, which means we have to look at the heart. And what is not right about the heart? We have to think about that, ask God to help us see it, help us to see it, and ask him to remove it. If there's one, I can absolutely 100% say with all confidence that if you pray to God, for example, that you have an anger problem in your heart, there's something that creates an issue in your heart or emotions to be angry. If you ask God, And in all sincerity, pray. I don't mean one time, but you continually pray with all sincerity, study God's word, but ask him to help you remove that impurity that causes you to get angry. He'll answer that prayer. And that's part of the conversion process. That's part of getting a pure heart. That's part of the refiner's fire, that it'll be removed. And that's what we have to do. God is pure. God is 100% pure without an ounce of deceitfulness or sin. And that is what we, through God's Spirit, strive to be. We want to be that way. It's the power of God's Spirit living us. Really, it's Christ living in us through God's Spirit that he's working in us to create this pure heart. To remove all the spots, all the wrinkles, all the blemishes through what God has done for us and Christ living in us. Now, we read about this in Ephesians 5, a wonderful scripture that describes really the relationship between Christ and the church. Wonderful scripture. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives. And, you know, all husbands, love your wives. And Paul's going to go on here and show just how much Christ loved the church. And he's making this analogy that Christ is married to the church, or will be married to the church. And he's preparing his bride now to be holy and without blemish. So let's see what it says. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Now, oftentimes we think of John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But here we see something even more specific, more amazing, is that Christ loved the church and he willingly gave himself for the church, which he's pictured as a future bride. And it says in verse 26 that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. So that occurs. In verse 27, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church. Think of that, glorious church. And it's described, why is it glorious? Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. That's what God is doing. He's refining each member of the church, each member that's been placed into the body of Christ, you might say, and he's working individually to refine each person and purify the heart. So there is no spot or wrinkle. You know, the Christ's bride, who he's going to marry, is described as being holy and without blemish. Those are people with pure hearts. That's a wife, that's a bride with a pure heart. And Christ is involved in how that happens, but we have to be willing to let God, and specifically Christ, work in us to purify our hearts, to get rid of those spots, those wrinkles, go through the conversion process, crying out to God, create in me a clean heart, remove that spot, remove that wrinkle, and not be afraid to say that, and not be afraid for God to work in us. And if we pray that and want that, and we hunger and thirst for God's righteousness, we'll want to do that. We want to be like him. We don't want spots or wrinkles on our hearts, you know, things that are not right. We want to be holy and without blemish. That's what Christ is going to have as a bride. So Christ is refining in the most loving and caring way the church, his future bride, that is a glorious bride, without spots or wrinkles, and that is holy and without blemish. Christ gave himself for the church and set apart the church, and is cleansing it through the word, as it says. And God's word, as well as his Holy Spirit, is like a refining agent. You know, with God's Spirit, we can look at God's word, and it begins to act as a refining agent, and it can start to see the things that are in our hearts. And we can ask God, help us remove that and change our hearts. We want a changed heart, a pure heart that reflects purity, without guile, a genuine heart. So Next, after a pure heart, is peacemaking. We'll talk more about that next time. But for right now, this Bible study, we've talked about having a pure heart. It's so very important to want to have a pure heart, to give God all, cry out like David, create a clean heart, wanting God to do that. And that's the conversion process, continually getting rid of spots and wrinkles and asking God to show it to us. He will certainly answer that prayer if we pray with sincerity. He will answer that prayer. So for right now, we'll say goodbye, and we'll see you next time on the Bible Study Series, The Sermon on the Mount.